minds. We need everything that you give to us, Lord. Sometimes even the hard things we need, because they all bring us closer to you. They all show us your mercy in some way. We just have to have eyes to see it. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning when there are so many who around the world who are literally dying to be at church. And here we are in a free country. We come here and sometimes our minds shut off. Lord, it's just our human condition, but still, we need to take this time seriously because it is about you. It's not about us. It's only about us insofar as it regards how we can worship you and how we can glorify you. But let us be conscious of you this morning. We pray for everyone in this room that we would feel your spirit stirred up within us, moving us in the direction that you want us to go. It's where we want to go. And if we're saved here this morning, if we've put our trust in Jesus, it is our heart's desire. It can still be squelched, but we pray that you would tune us into that, Lord, so that you can receive all the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have here on this table before me this morning a few items. They're items that by themselves seem insignificant. They're probably fairly relevant to you, as a matter of fact. I have on this one side a piece of red modeling clay. Kind of nice, red color. It feels nice, the initial feel. I can shape it into different things. Besides, I have some green modeling clay. Very much like the red. The only real difference is that it's green. Besides that, I've got some toothpicks with a nice round kind that you can really get in there and dig with. They're long, they're pointed. Other than that, not really that significant. Besides that, I have some beads. Beads really don't have much use by themselves. They look kind of nice, but they're just beads. And once again, I have some gray modeling clay this time. Just like the red and green, it's gray. Now, by themselves, when you look at these items, they're not really much good. They're not really much use. I mean, they might, for a few moments, feel kind of neat. You know, you can play with them in your hands, kind of entertain yourself. But after a few minutes, they really don't really do anything for you on their own. But when you put them together, they can become something else. Something very special, something very precious, something just like this here. Now, this may not be very significant to you, might not be very special to you, but this is a little cactus that my daughter Sophia made. I remember when she, or Evelina made, when she came up and, Evelina, Sophia made one too, but when she came up and showed me, and her eyes were bright, and she said, "Here, let me hold it." And it was something that I loved very much, just because they put all these things together on their own and made something that I think is actually quite beautiful. It's on their dresser now. And you know what? This kind of thing, this is a father's delight to see. You know, each of us is like these different items on this table that's in front of me this morning. Each of us has certain properties, certain attributes, certain qualities that are unique to us. But individually, even though we might be interesting for a few moments in life, perhaps, like these things, we really don't do a whole lot on our own. But when we come together as a body of believers, when we come together as a church, we come together that forms something that is the Father's delight. We come together to form a living, a moving, an impacting, a kingdom-advancing body. And each of us, like these parts, contributes something to that, contributes something different. The green clay gives this cactus its essential cactus color. You wouldn't know it was a cactus if it was blue clay or something like that. The red clay makes the flowers that sometimes appear on cactuses. Of course, the toothpicks become those
sharp, prickly points of the cactus. It contributes that quality. The bowl on the bottom, we actually have a few more of these at home, becomes the thing that holds the cactus up, that helps it to grow. The beads, well, you know, they're not on normal cactuses, but hey, they make it look pretty, right? So they contribute that quality. Each of us has these unique properties, these unique gifts that God has given to us. And when I say gifts, I'm talking about those special abilities that God has endowed each of us with. He's given us these gifts, these abilities, and we need to come together to use them together and build a place for the glory of God. That's what I want to consider this morning. That's what we need to consider this morning as we look at the text that we're going to use for our jumping off point. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus, chapter 35. Exodus 35. And we're going to start reading at verse 30. Exodus 35, 30. Now, as you're turning there, let's do a little bit of background. Our text this morning takes place after God's people were delivered out of slavery in the land of Egypt. They were making their way to a new land, a promised land. And on the way, God wanted them to build for him a house of sorts. Not that God lives in a house. We know that God doesn't live in a house. It couldn't possibly contain him. But this was going to be a special place in which God would display his shining presence, that is, his glory, to his people. And not just to his people, but as they carried all this stuff to that new promised land and they set up this tabernacle every now and then, the nations around would look and say, wow, what kind of a God is this? Look at how ornate this is. Look how beautiful. It was to show his glory to the people around too. But a place this special, where God would symbolically live, isn't a place just to be thrown together. It's not to be put together by any old Joe. It was to be perfect, just right, something to represent God himself. So let's read that text now. Exodus 35, starting at verse 30. Moses then said to the Israelites, look, Yahweh has appointed by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with God's Spirit, with wisdom, understanding, and ability in every kind of craft to design artistic works in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut gemstones for mounting, and to carve wood for work in every kind of artistic craft. He's also given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He's filled them with skill to do all the work of a gem cutter, a designer, an embroiderer in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, and a weaver. They can do every kind of craft and design artistic designs. Bezalel, Oholiab, and all the skilled people are to work based on everything Yahweh has commanded. Yahweh has given them wisdom and understanding to know how to do all the work of constructing the sanctuary. So Moses summoned Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person in whose heart Yahweh had placed wisdom, everyone whose heart moved him to come to the work and do it. They took from Moses' presence all the contributions that the Israelites had brought for the task of making the sanctuary. Meanwhile, the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work for the sanctuary came one by one from the work they were doing and said to Moses, the people are bringing more than is needed for the construction of the work Yahweh commanded to be done. After Moses gave an order, they sent a proclamation throughout the camp, let no man or woman make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. So the people stopped. The materials were sufficient for them to do all the work. There was more than enough. Now let's take note in this text, first of all, that God has chosen special people to build things in this tabernacle, this temple living space that God was going to dwell in, that God was going to represent himself in. Brothers and sisters, listen. You and I are those who are now chosen to build God's temple. You and I. Believe it or not, he wants you and me to build his temple. Well, I know you might say, well, a temple, what are you talking about up there, Muscat? The temple doesn't exist anymore. Neither is this tabernacle that we were just reading about. But you know what? It does. It does still exist. The Bible tells us that now, collectively, we are God's temple. We, God's people, collectively, are God's temple now, in this part of God's history. Ephesians 2:21 tells us that. And so, I want us to consider, because today is Ministry Fair Sunday, I want to leave you with this thought. This is our main thought for this morning. God has endowed you with gifts. God has endowed you with gifts. So, use those gifts that God has given you. Use those gifts and build God's temple. Now, in this text, there are two people who are named specifically. Verse 30, look at it there. We have Bezalel. Verse 34, we're introduced to Aholiab. And then in chapter 36, verse 1, it says there were more. All the skilled people are to work on everything Yahweh has commanded. Now, these folks weren't chosen because they had gifts in and of themselves. These people were chosen because God himself gave them these gifts. God gave them these abilities. Chapter 35, verse 31 says, He, God, has filled them with God's Spirit, with wisdom, understanding, and ability in every kind of craft. Again, 36, verse 1, Yahweh has given them wisdom. He's given them understanding to know how to do a little bit of the work, all the work, it says. Like those, like these little pieces of this little sculpture I have, we can see that there are several things that go in. Verse 32 says, design art, make sculptures in gold, silver, and bronze, cut gemstones, carve wood. Verse 35, embroidery, weaving even. All of these unique gifts, but God's apportioned these gifts for every need. He's apportioned them to these people because he's got a purpose that he wants to accomplish. That's the way that God gets things done, you see. He gives his people the gifts that they need to do the job that he wants them to do. And you know what? It hasn't changed. It's the same today as it was then. We need to use the gifts God's given us because he's given them to you for a purpose. He's given you your gifts for a purpose. Each one of us has a purpose in building God's temple, of being, as Pink Floyd would have said, another brick in the wall. Except they made it sound bad that it was to be another brick in the wall. But you know what? Whether we're a brick or whether we're a candle, or a painting, or a curtain, or whatever else in God's temple, that's a beautiful thing to be, because you've got it from God. And we've been given these unique qualities, these unique attributes, these unique abilities, these unique gifts that we have for that purpose, to build God's temple, his body. Folks, to build this church. Look with me at 1 Corinthians. Keep your finger in Exodus, but flip on over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to come back to Exodus. 1 Corinthians 12, 6 to 11, it says this. And there are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the Spirit, by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, different kinds of languages. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. Flip on over to Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. If prophecy, use it according to the standard of one's faith. If service, in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in exhortation. Giving, with generosity. Leading, with diligence. Showing mercy, with cheerfulness. Now these are held, and have been held for a lot of years by many to be the definitive lists of spiritual gifts that God assigned. But look at these two lists. They're very different from each other, aren't they? Different in length. They're not identical. That's because they're only a small sampling of the many spiritual gifts that God gives to His people. The gift that God gave you, it may be knitting. It may be an aptitude for physical activity or sports, perhaps. Maybe you're really good with finances. You're good with computers. You're good at cooking or baking. Maybe you have a great capacity for reading books. Maybe you're artistic. According to the grace given to us, we have different gifts, each and every one of us in this room. Use the gifts that God has given you, because He's given them to you for a purpose. Secondly, use your gifts. Why? Because God is still building. As we said, God is still building. Now we talked a little bit about the fact that that old tabernacle, that old temple, is now destroyed. But that doesn't mean that God isn't still building His temple. The Bible refers to the church, the worldwide body of believers in Jesus, as being God's temple now. Guys, this structure is not God's building. This is not God's house. We often say that, well, we're in God's house now when we come here to church. You know, we're in God's house. So take off your hat, take off your shoes, or whatever it may be. But this, it's a misconception. This is not God's house. We'd be better to stop using that terminology, because it's just not accurate. We as believers are God's house now. We as believers, when we are together, are God's temple now. Why? Because the temple has always been that place where God meets with man and where God displays His glory to the world. And that's us when we work together as one body. Ephesians 2, 21 and 22 tells us the whole building being put together by Him grows into a holy sanctuary in the Lord. You also are being built together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. You see that? We are being built. Notice that this being built isn't past tense. It's something that's happening right now. And the you, it's plural. You also are being built together. That you there is plural. We are being built into God's temple right now. It's happening. As we sit here, we may think, oh, we're just sitting here. But the fact is, we are being built into God's temple. When we go out there, we'll be being built into God's temple. And just like God used Bezalel, Aholiab, and so many others to build His temple then, He uses you and me to build His temple now. He's given each of us these gifts, and we need to use them to build up this temple, this body of believers, this church that you're a part of. Because every Sunday when we meet, every care group when they meet, every prayer group when they meet, is God's temple. And your expertise, your abilities are needed. They've been given to you to build that temple, this body of believers, to be a demonstration of the glory of God to everyone who looks in and sees what's going on. Remember, the temple is where God's glory shines to His people and shines to those who are outside of the church as well. Is that happening here? As it should. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking it's not happening as it should, then each of us needs to ask why. What about me? Am I putting my gifts to use for the building of God's temple? We need to ask ourselves that question about ourselves. Use the gifts that God has given you, because He is still building His temple. Thirdly, we need to use our gifts with confidence. With confidence that God will supply everything that we need. Look back at Exodus chapter 36 again, verses 4 to 7. Exodus 36, verses 4 to 7. It says this, "Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work for the sanctuary came one by one from the work they were doing and said to Moses, 'The people are bringing more than is needed for the construction of the work of Yahweh commanded to be done.'" More than what was needed. "After Moses gave an order, they sent a proclamation throughout the camp, 'Let no man or woman make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary.' So the people stopped. The materials were sufficient for them to do all the work. There was more than enough." Now, I want to see a show of hands here. How many of you have ever worried? Seriously, show me all your hands. How many of you have ever worried? No, okay, that's good. I think everybody. Now, another show of hands. How many of you who have worried have found out after that God supplied what you needed to make it through? Let's see. That's interesting. Look around. Look around the room. Put your hands back up. Isn't that interesting? I see a one-to-one correspondence there. And you know what? Wonder of wonders, God still does the same thing. He still works the same way. In fact, as we see from our text, when we are faithful to God and we use our gifts for His glory, He doesn't just supply what we need. He supplies more than what we need. Moses had to ask the people to stop supplying because there's too much for God's house. Our God hasn't changed, brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to make every grace overflow to you." Overflow so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. That's God's promise. And His promise never fails. So this morning, when you consider whether or not, when we go out there and you think, look at some of these ministries and you think, I don't know if God can use me in this or not. Remember, use the gifts that God has given you and be confident that He'll supply what you need for that. Finally, we need to use our gifts God's given us or we will be judged. We need to use the gifts that God's given us or we will be judged accordingly. Now it's clear in our text that God commissioned Bezalel and Aholiab, gave them special abilities and gifts to use for God. And you know what they did? They went out and they used them. That old tabernacle, it was built. It was built just as it was supposed to be. But let's think about this situation if something else happened. What if Bezalel and Aholiab refused? What if Bezalel and Aholiab were lazy? And they got these gifts from God, but they didn't follow through on anything that God wanted them to do with. How would God have responded? Well, if you know your Old Testament at all, I think we know how He would have responded. It's usually not a pretty picture for people who don't obey God in the Old Testament, does it? Moses, who is God's best man on the whole planet, he neglected to circumcise his son, and it tells us that God was going to kill him for doing that. You see, it is true that what saves us is faith. And faith alone in the work of Jesus saves us. But in every instance of how God judges people on that judgment day when it comes, the Bible is clear that the faith of every Christian will be judged by the works that that faith produces. That's right. We are judged according to our works when Christ returns. We have another picture in Matthew 25, which Nathan read earlier, about God's response to those who are unfaithful in using the gifts that they've been given. God says in Matthew 25:30, not very nice words, "Throw that good-for-nothing slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We need to understand that even though God furnishes us with infinite grace, He's still given us these gifts for a reason. And if we're unfaithful, the same God who clearly showed His Old Testament wrath, He's going to be the same God who questions you and me when it comes to giving an account on that judgment day as to what we've done in the church, what we've done for Him in the church. We saw this evidenced in the story of the sheep and the goats read earlier in the same chapter. God judges people according to what they've done for those in the church. Matthew 25:40, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine. Now get that? Brothers of mine. Those are people inside the church. Whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me either. This is referring to the way that we as Christians benefit other believers in the church, putting our gifts to use here in the church, getting involved in what's going on in the church. Now, with this threat of judgment, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not using scare tactics here. But we do need to take the Scripture seriously, because these kinds of things are included in the Bible for a reason. Jesus says in Luke 12:48, much will be required of everyone who has been given much. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you what. We have been given a lot. We've been given a lot. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you've been given a lot. You've been given even more. So use the gifts that God has given you, or you will be judged accordingly. So what are the ways that God has gifted you? Ask yourself, what is the way or the ways that God has gifted me? If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, I know this is an area of great confusion. It has been since about the 1970s. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, then you just need to think, what are my talents? What are your interests? What are your special abilities? The things that you're really good at, that God's given you an aptitude for? By ourselves, as individuals, we might look quite plain. We might even look kind of uninteresting. But the reason for that is because alone, you and I aren't much more than any of these individual pieces of clay or toothpicks like this cactus is made of. But when we all give ourselves to the building of God's temple, the building up of His people that we call the church, He makes us into something that is the Father's delight. He does. Now, every good sermon, I believe, needs to have an application. This wouldn't be a useful sermon at all if there wasn't some portion of application. The sermon's actually done. And you'll notice, you'll say, wow, that was a lot shorter than usual. But that's because the application part of this message for you this morning is up to you. As I mentioned already, our ministry leaders have been hard at work here till late hours of the night last night, some of them. They've opened the door this morning for you to apply God's word to your life, to apply this message. And in a moment, we're gonna all make our way into the adjacent room where you can each take some time to see how God might use you here in the church. So after we sing the last song this morning, I don't want you to consider it the end of the service, because it's not the end of the service. So please, when the last song is sung, as we usually do, don't stay in the room to mingle. It's not a time of mingling. The service is still happening. It's time to apply what we've heard and to put our gifts to practical use. So please, after the last song, I want you not to talk, but to move immediately over to the next room in the fellowship hall and look around. Don't mingle there either. I purposely didn't put coffee and snacks there for a reason. But check out the ministries here and see how you can be put to use with your gifts by God for the benefit of God's people and for the advancement of His kingdom. Put to use the gifts that God has given you and build God's temple. Let's pray. Lord God, as this service continues, we just want to ask that you would soften our hearts. We want to ask that you would give us the insight that we need from your Spirit. I pray that every believer here this morning, right now, will be praying that with me. Help me, Lord, to understand what I can be doing to build up your body, to build your temple, so that you can be glorified. How can I contribute to the benefit of other believers? Lord, what are my gifts that you've given to me? I know there's going to be something out there that I'll be able to participate in, that I'll be able to contribute in, or that'll help grow me. Show me what it is. Lead me to that booth, Lord. Lord, get rid of my reservations of being involved in the church. Get rid of my fear of commitment. It's wrong. Lord, I ought to be committed to you in every single way. My whole life should be committed to you. And my brothers and sisters who are here around me, I want to help them grow. So Lord, use me. Lord, let those things be our prayer this morning. We want to pray that it would be the joy of every ministry leader here to see that the ministries they're involved in, whether it be for the well-being of our little children who so desperately need to hear about you, or whether it be for the ushering ministry who really needs volunteers to help them do all the work that they're burdened with, whether it be for the youth group who, again, so desperately, and the college and career who need guidance in a world that is so confused when we read about transgenderism and the indoctrination that's happening in our schools, and Elton John wanting to convince Putin that homosexuality is an okay thing, and all of these confusing things, Lord. We pray that these ministries would fill up so that we can be more like Christ. Lord, bless the rest of this service this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together and sing this song as a prayer.